You're with The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Hope your new year is off to a great start. Coming up on the show today, we're going to dip our toes a bit into local history. We've got the story of Nell Pickerel, an early 20th century woman who spent her life dressed as a man and, I must say, living on the city's wild side. Don Nielsen will tell Ross Reynolds how his stint on the Seattle School Board about 20 years ago or so shaped his idea of school reform. Not all history is very much fun to revisit. One story that made waves last year was a painful reflection of the past. In the first half of 2014, heroin was more deadly than any other drug in King County. That hasn't been true since the year 2001. But there is some good news, a relatively new drug that can reverse the effects of a heroin overdose and other opiates. It's called naloxone. Caleb Banta Green is senior researcher at the University of Washington's Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute. He says even though it's easier to get naloxone today than it ever has been, King County still sees many fatal opiate overdoses.
About a year ago, when we surveyed folks at the Seattle Syringe Exchange, only about a third of them actually had naloxone. And of course, even if you do have this naloxone, which is an antidote, it's a short-term rescue medicine. Somebody else has to give it to you. You don't give it to yourself. So some overdoses are very sudden and they won't respond to this antidote. And in many cases, people are alone. And of course, that is a big risk for dying from an overdose when one does occur because there's no one there to help you.
I know that select police departments in about 20 states right now carry naloxone with them. Mm-hmm. Here in Washington state, who has access to this drug?
So in terms of police, the Lummi Tribal Police are the first police department in the state that began carrying naloxone in June. I know that at least one other tribal police department has been trained, and if they haven't started, they will start soon. I know of several other larger police departments that are interested that are very likely to come online in 2015. And I just want to mention, you know, police carrying naloxone is fine, and it's a good thing to have. If I had to pick, I would pick every heroin user first. They're much greater likelihood of seeing an overdose and responding to that overdose. And of course, if police do have the naloxone, somebody has to know to call the police. So that's another piece of this as well.
The Lummi, why tribal police as opposed to police in Seattle or Spokane or someplace big?
Two different reasons, and I've spent some time with Lummi, and the Lummi have been incredibly hard hit by opiate addiction. That's been something that's affected them for over a decade, and so there's an incredibly high need. So you're combining high need with a small self-governed nation that can make quick, rapid decisions, and I think that's essentially the reason that it happened there first, because it could happen first. They are also relatively remote from a medical response, so that's where naloxone really comes in as a real lifesaver, is when you're 30 minutes away from a paramedic carrying naloxone. It's hard to do rescue breathing for 30 minutes. You really need that, particularly in a rural area. So that's yet another thing that I think really raised the priority for them.
You are working on expanding access to naloxone beyond the tribal police, maybe even beyond police departments themselves. You're having a conference about this next year. What is your end goal?
My end goal is that we really are treating opiate addiction like what it is, which is a treatable condition. But we got to keep people alive long enough. What we saw in 2013 is we had 99 people die from heroin overdoses just in King County. In the first half of 2014, we had 69. The biggest increase that we're seeing in deaths are those under the age of 30. These are young, young adults who are dying. So this is just about keeping people alive.
I'm talking about an overdose reversal drug called naloxone with University of Washington researcher Caleb Banta Green. And we're talking about police departments having this drug, but I understand recently you were able to get this thing at a pharmacy. How did it work?
Sure. So I went up to Kelly Ross Pharmacy on 7th and Madison, just across I-5 from downtown, and I walked in and said, I'm at risk for witnessing an overdose, and I'd like some naloxone. And they said, come on in. Come on over to our patient education room. We sat down and chatted. They did about a 20-minute training with me. I went back out to the counter. They gave me the naloxone, and I paid for it out of pocket, and I left. And Washington State, like many states, actually does allow this. We also allow it for flu vaccinations and emergency contraception. And that's terrific because naloxone is a prescription medicine. It's not just over-the-counter. It's not like Tylenol. But you could get it at a pharmacy. And obviously, there's a lot of pharmacies out there.
What kind of danger, if any, is there if I would walk in, me with no medical training, walk into a pharmacy, get this naloxone, and then try to administer it to somebody who's overdosed?
Great question. So in terms of the medicine itself, there's really No danger. Naloxone only reverses overdoses. You give me naloxone right now, I'm not on opiates. It doesn't do anything.
Really?
What is important, though, is the behavioral piece. And that is that if a person reverses an overdose, that person wakes up and seems fine, you still have to call 911. That person was unconscious. That is a medical emergency. And that naloxone is going to wear off in about an hour. And depending what they took, they could go right back into an overdose. So that's actually the biggest concern, isn't about the medicine itself. It's that it will make people think they don't need to call 911. They do.
If it works for an hour, Caleb, what is it that it does when, if I overdosed, if I shot up a syringe full of heroin and overdose, what happens if you administer naloxone to me?
So the way to think about it is your brain is filled with opiate receptors, and two things bind to those opiate receptors, opiates and naloxone. So opiates, things like heroin, are relatively short-acting, an hour or two, but there are some medicines, long-acting pain medicines, that could last 6, 8, 10 hours. So if you're taking a long-acting pain medicine, it goes in, binds to that opiate receptor and turns it on. The naloxone comes in, it binds even stronger. It binds to that receptor, kicks out that pain medicine, but it wears off in an hour, and that pain medicine will come right back to that receptor and turn it back on.
So pharmacies have it. Mm-hmm. Some police forces, maybe more. Mm-hmm. Opiate drug users or their pals could probably benefit from carrying this. But I would imagine some people think that giving addicts or recovering addicts a drug that would be an antidote to an overdose when they're trying to quit the drug in the first place would be a little bit problematic. What have you heard from treatment centers about this?
Treatment centers I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot, are actually really excited and want to get this into the hands of folks. If I'm dependent on opiates and I have an overdose and you give me naloxone, I go into sudden, rapid withdrawal. I feel terrible. I feel like I am dying. It's the withdrawal that people use opiates to prevent. Mm. Right? It's not something you want to have happen every day. It doesn't feel good. It's very understandable that people would think it would enable use, cause more use. Just in the real world, that's not what we see.
But it could save somebody's life.
Absolutely could save somebody's life. And I think sort of the larger piece of this is that, you know, you can't recover if you're dead. So you're never going to get down a pathway to doing better in your life if you're dead. And it gives you that opportunity.
You're really passionate about this. This is something you're devoting a lot of energy mm-hmm. to making sure spreads beyond the hands of the few police departments. Mm-hmm. As a society, as the state of Washington and citizens who have maybe no ties to opiates at all, what do we have to gain?
Well, we have keeping people alive, number one. But I think what's really exciting about naloxone is really it's starting this conversation we're having. It's getting people to talk about opiate addiction. And what that really leads to is people understanding that opiate addiction is treatable. Naloxone is a short-term fix. It's a 60-minute fix. Medication-assisted treatment with things like methadone and buprenorphine, those are lifelong fixes. That can keep a person alive for 40 or 60 years. And so what we have to gain as a society is recognizing people as valuable, valuing keeping them alive. And what people have to gain is getting their family and friends back from opiate addiction.
How much is it going to cost us?
The doses are under $100. I mean, this is not – the cost benefit on this in terms of the research is incredibly high. This is a very, very cheap medication in terms of what we're talking about, which is saving people's lives.
Caleb Banta-Green is a senior researcher at the University of Washington's Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute. Banta-Green and other advocates hope to expand the availability of the drug naloxone throughout Washington State in the coming year.